Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Philippians chapter 3, beginning at the fourth verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, how did that go? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing less. Nothing less will do. Well, if you want the job, you are probably going to need a resume. In some parts, it's called a CV, a curriculum vitae. From the old Latin curro, which means to run or hasten or rush around, and vitae, life. So in other words, put them together. What have you been running around doing in your life? Your curriculum vitae. But if that is not a professional enough definition, we'll just put it like this. It is a short, quote, written summary of a person's career, qualifications, and education. Your resume, your curriculum vitae, and if you want that job or you want to reach that goal, you're probably going to need those. But then again, there are times, and in this world many times, when all the resumes and all the curriculum vitae in the world filled with all of your glowing achievements and impressive credentials, or maybe just your history of hard work and experience and dedication and honesty, you can submit all of that and you get passed by in favor of somebody's kid, or their cousin, or their relative, or their friend. And then it is that the old saying holds true. It's not what you know, but who you know. It doesn't seem fair, does it? And the reason why it doesn't seem fair is because it isn't. It doesn't seem wise, probably because most times it isn't. And yet there it is. You're not going to get the job. You're not going to reach the goal unless you know somebody. Well, with that, it might come as a shock to you that things operate much the same way in the kingdom of God. They operate much the same way in the Lord's kingdom. What counts is not what you know, but who you know. What counts is not what you have been running around doing, but what He has been doing, what He has accomplished, His work. Now, to help us understand that, we have today's second lesson, Book of Philippians, chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, what you have there is an example of someone's resume, their curriculum vitae, a short written summary of a person's career, qualifications, and education. Let's take a look at it because it'll help us out. This person says, if any other person seems to be confident in the flesh, I am more so. And St. Paul's life coach pats him on the back and says, good way to start. Contagious confidence. Show them that you are indispensable. Show them, let them know that you know there are other candidates, but none of them is going to hold a candle to you. Start out on the right foot. So let's read the curriculum vitae. I was circumcised on the eighth day. We followed the rules. That's what the Bible says. I'm of the offspring of Israel, the chosen people. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, one of Rachel's sons, the beloved wife of Jacob. And not only that, when Paul was born, he wasn't named Paul. What was his name? Saul. Who was he named after? The first king of Israel, who was from the tribe of, not Judah, but Benjamin. He was named pridefully after that first king of Israel. He says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I can trace my ancestry on both my mother's side and my father's side, and no stray genes have gotten in from the outside. Like the book of Ezra or Chronicles, everybody listed by name so that you know who is of the people of Israel and who is not. Paul says, he says, I am also according to the law a Pharisee. What that means is I go to the strictest church of all of Judaism. And that's important because some people measure your religion by the size of your Bible and by the frown on your face. That's how you measure it. He says, according to zeal, I persecuted the church. According to the righteousness which is in the law of God, I am blameless. Now you hear a person talking like that, a person acting like that, a person living like that, you see these qualifications, four qualifications by birth, three qualifications by achievement, and you sit up and notice. This is somebody special. You're suitably impressed. You're jealous, maybe, of their greatness. Your greatness. How wonderful. Puts me in time, of the time that years back now, my parents talked about enrolling my sister in the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution. I like the sound of that. It's got a nice ring. Daughters of the American Revolution, because we knew we had people in the country back then. And you dig a little bit deeper, we knew they were in the Revolutionary War. And dig a little deeper still, and now you dug too deep. It seems that after all, they may have been on the side of the Patriots, or they may have been on the side of the Redcoats. And we're not exactly sure, so maybe we won't continue with the idea of the D-A-R. So much for that. Today's lesson, Philippians chapter 3. Whatever was a profit for me, I got to write it off on account of knowing Christ. It is a loss. Bible word, technical word, for loss at sea. You're a business person. You send your shipment. You anticipate a big profit when it arrives, when it reaches its destination, except it doesn't reach the destination because why? The Titanic hit an iceberg. The ship hit a storm. It ran aground. It was never seen again. And Paul says, so much for my resume. So much for my curriculum vitae. And if it's true for Paul, what are you going to do? You're going to present your resume to God? You're going to present your curriculum vitae to the Lord? You're going to tell the Lord about all the things you've been running around doing? You're going to tell the Lord, that's my confidence before you, Almighty God? Well, if you're going to do that, I'll save you some time. Jesus saved us some time. He told a parable, and he said there were two men that went up to the temple to pray, and one of them presented his resume to God. He said, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like all the other people. Confidence. I fast twice a week. I put 10% in the offering plate. The tax collector, the other fellow in the parable, knew better. And beating his breast, all he could say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And King David knew better. He said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. We did some of these verses last Sunday too. And King Solomon knew better. He said, there isn't a righteous man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the prophet Isaiah knew better. He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And the apostle Peter knew better. When he first met Jesus, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I mean, why does the scripture say repeatedly, and it does so, that no person can see God and live? I mean, after all, who cares how many people sit up and take notice and are jealous of your greatness if you do not meet the standards? If you do not meet the standards of a holy God and a perfect God, our God who is a consuming fire, and if the scripture is true, and it is true, what it tells you is that you and I, every single one of us, are entirely unqualified for the position of eternal life, and we cannot and will not be considered for it. And it is in light of that that St. Paul does what a lot of people have to do when they're confronted with the same thing. He has to rewrite his resume. And he rewrites it. He gets out the big black marker, and he says, all right, what have I got here? If any other person seems to be confident in the flesh, I am more so. I don't think that's going to work. That's kind of haughty, isn't it? We'll cross that one out. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Well, isn't that nice? We'll cross that one out. I'm of the offspring of Israel. Isn't that wonderful, too? We'll cross that one out. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin did not have too good a history, if you look at the book of Judges. And King Saul, he was hardly the best of kings. I think we'll cross that one out. Hebrew of Hebrews. Well, okay, that's nice. We have pure ancestry, whatever that means. We'll cross that one out. According to the law of Pharisee, nobody wants my frowny face. According to zeal, persecuting the church. Maybe we'll forget about that. We'll get rid of that one. According to the righteousness which is in the law, I am blameless. Who do you think you are? You looked in the mirror recently? Let's get out the mark. We'll cross that one out too. Now, what happens? The man crosses the whole list off. His whole resume, it's all crossed off. And he realizes that the whole thing is, and these are his words, the whole thing is skibbola. That's the word he uses. I hear a preacher laughing over here. He uses the word skibbola, which is not a polite word in the Greek language. But it indicates the depth of Paul's feeling and the value of human righteousness before the Lord. Paul looks at the whole list and he says it's skibbola. And skibbola, to put it as nicely as we can, it's what the horse leaves behind in the field. That's what it is. He says, my whole list, what happened to it? I crossed everything off, and what have I got left? What have I got left? Well, let's let him speak for himself. And you want you to listen here. You listen to what he repeats over and over again. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, skibbola, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If you take your resume and you cross everything off, what do you got left? What do you have left? What did he repeat over and over again? He said, Jesus or Christ Jesus. He said, there's my resume. There is my resume. We sing about it. We say, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. We sang it just a moment ago. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's your resume. Some people wear their resume, put it around their neck, they have a cross. You come into church, you see the resume, it's on the wall. It's on your Bible, a cross. That's all I got left, Lord. All the rest of it, we're not even going to talk about it. Because it's not what you know, not what you did. It's who you know. And If your goal is the resurrection of the dead, like the lesson talks about, if your goal is the resurrection from the dead, like you say in the Nicene Creed and have said plenty of times, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. If that's what you're looking for, then it can't be what you know. And it can't be what you did. That's not going to get you there. It's who you know. And it's what he did. And so you sing the hymn, not just the first part of the verse, the whole verse. You sing, my hope is built on nothing less, my resume, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, my curriculum vitae, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.